I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to a very special episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast for the EPL Index. I'm your host, as usual, James Vickers. You can find me on Twitter at @_JamesVickers. And today, a bit surreal, I'm joined by Colin Murray, who used to host Match of the Day 2 and also hosts now the Football League highlight show. Colin, thank you for joining me today.
How are you, mate? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I wanted to start by asking you, obviously, seen on Twitter over the last couple of weeks, you were out in Norway, sort of celebrating Northern Ireland getting into the playoffs now for the World Cup. How was the trip over there, and sort of what are your expectations for the sort of the qualifier coming up now in the playoff?
It was good. You kind of it's a very big divide between being an England fan and being a Northern Ireland fan. So you've got to put yourself in the mind of not doing a huge amount for a long period of time, you know. And you don't really talk about sort of at the start of a campaign. You're not really talking about expectation or anything. It's about community, and it's about enjoying yourself, and it's about backing your team as long as they give 100%, whether you get beat 5-0 or whether you win 5-0. It's really interesting. That's my Twitter feed's full of people going, who do you want to get the draw for the playoffs, what do you think would happen if you got, and it's like it's sort of the nucleus of what we do, really, is so we're not Brazil, we're Northern Ireland. That's what we say, you know. If someone does like the Norway game, like we were awful in that game, which was great because what a good time to have a bad game. It's been a long time, I think, in my opinion, that we've played that badly. But we'd already got through with players in yellow cards and stuff. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Evans in a back heel, and like we're all just singing, it's like watching Brazil for 5 minutes, you know what I mean? It was good. I've been getting healthy over the last 2 months, so I haven't been drinking much, and that is impossible at Northern Ireland games. So I went into the bar at about 2 p.m. in Norway, which is way over expensive, by the way. Oslo's ridiculous. But anyway, go in, and I'm drinking at Northern Irish pace. I haven't been drinking like that in ages. So I had a bit of a wobble about 2 hours before the game. I thought I might not make this game. Drank too much. But my mate got me in the right track, and then we got up to the game. And it's always a lot of fun, the away games especially. Like, I managed to get to Germany, Czech Republic, and Norway in this campaign. And I'm just hoping that when the playoffs draw, that one of her legs isn't on the 14th of November, because I'm hosting a charity night in London and I have to do it. So like, if it's the 14th of November, I can't go. But I think I'm good for the 12th and 13th for the second leg. So, and I'd probably, you know, I'd rather have Denmark than Croatia. Do you know what I mean? But we'll see what happens. But bring it on. I mean, I think it would be brilliant fun. It'd be a lot of fun. They're a team under a lot of pressure. I don't think they're as good as they've been in a long time. I think they're the problem scoring against us. So that could be really, really interesting. But the perspective, mate, is we've went through decades of nothing. Do you know what I mean? We qualified in 86. The last few years has just been, we've had some great nights, like beating England, beating Sweden, beating Spain. We did all that in the first sort of, you know, 8 years of this century. But like, to qualify for campaign and then get into the playoffs for a World Cup, it's unbelievable. We went from the 100 and something in the world to breaking into the top 20 under Michael O'Neill. So it's kind of dreamland for us, but we still are like really grounded about it. Like, no Northern Ireland fan that I know is sitting going, we should be beating teams like that, or, you know, any of that rubbish.
No, that's fine. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned sort of going over and having a drink. Obviously, I've been telling sort of my mates, and it was Dean really who put the idea in my head. I have to give him a shout out for it. How this interview came about, I think I'd been tagged in a, sort of for people who don't know, I'd been tagged in a post that the Football League show had put, and I think you sort of saw sort of the back end of our conversation, which had come from that, really, talking about sort of away day stories. And and that kind of thing. And yeah, we're recording this on the Friday, and I'm at Fulham away tomorrow. So I'd imagine, sort of similar to you said there, a couple of hours before the game, it will be a case of having to slow down.
Is that the only game you can arrive by boat?
Oh,
it might be. I don't know of any other games where you can arrive by boat, but you can arrive at a dock and like get right off and then walk into Craven Cottage near enough, like around the corner. So I remember this is going back, but when Leighton Orient fans were in the same division, I remember my mate telling me that they would get a boat from like 10 miles away, they'd all meet and have like a booze cruise. Because Craven Cottage is one of, it has to be on the bucket list, like any football fan. If someone came from, say, wherever on holiday from Japan or from Kentucky or wherever and said, look, the reason why I chose Kentucky as a producer, by the way, is in Kentucky at the moment of this. That was a very random place to choose, but it must have been in my head. But if they came over and you were giving them five grounds to go to, I think you got to think about Craven Cottage, do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
The house in the corner, just where it is. Very gentrified, like. But I don't live that far from it, like, so I walk around. But I sat with the gas this year, actually, in the League Cup. So I sat with the Bristol Rovers fans when they won, actually. They beat them. Fulham are a weird team. A championship, actually, at the moment, they're probably the team, probably, in terms of positions at the moment, they're probably the team in a position that absolutely doesn't betray where they're going to be at the end of the season. I mean, they definitely are looking up. But not to get into boring football chat, but yeah, Joy Fulham, that's the main. If you want drink down that way, it's usually Prosecco.
Yes, well, it's funny you mentioned the boat, because we, probably about a month ago, I had a few of my mates, we went sort of the last couple of years to Fulham and never did the boat, but this year we're actually booked on it, so we leave Temple Pier at midday, booze cruise down the Thames, which, you know, should be fun, and then, yeah, we get dropped off at Craven Cottage at just after 2 o'clock, so it will be interesting, to say the least.
That'll be good. But, I mean, there's so many things you can do based on, like, if you look at, not obviously, there are exceptions to the rule, obviously, in terms of smaller towns being in top divisions, but ultimately, you know, you look at, say, Manchester, London, Liverpool, how many clubs in the Premier League are there? There are different types of things. The village side, I like going to see them, and this is pretty dull, but I can't do it this season. Obviously, we're doing a year of the Football League, but a lot of weekends I would go, okay, if I'm off on a Saturday, I would go and see a team that are in the corner of, like, say, the Peak District or in the Lake District or up the Wye Valley or whatever, and then you can go for a lovely walk after that. You know, there's all different experiences built into away days as well, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I sort of, before I started following Preston away, I'd sort of mainly only really stay around Manchester, so it's amazing. Sort of places like Ipswich, I've been to towns like that, and it's great sort of way of exploring the country, really. Sort of first and foremost, you go for the football, but there's all these sort of hidden areas of the country that you necessarily wouldn't visit unless it was sort of going to the football. So parents do sort of see it as, oh, he's off sort of to the pub again to watch the football. But, you know, I've had some sort of great stories that obviously it'd take more than just sort of an episode of this to record to sort of list through them all.
Of course,
but
if you want to pay for your away days, you can just bet Preston over and under yellow cards this season, can't you?
Oh,
take over.
Definitely, yeah. it's been a little bit different the last month with Ben Pearson injured, but it's sort of still a fantastic record that he's got so far. So he's played 4 games and he's got 5 yellow cards, so he's going better than a yellow card a game at the moment. So
But you know what, in terms of the style that they play, in terms of sort of as aggressive off the ball, I think, as they are on it, maybe it will settle itself down, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is very much a philosophy of football, and if you are going to chase the ball like that, I think, what was it, Brendan Rodgers used to call something like, I can't remember, but like 3 seconds of fire or something like that, you know, when you lose the ball.
Yeah.
And when you're not allowing the team to settle in that, you have to bite at them, and, you know, you do get picked quite easy these days. I mean, yellow cards, I'm not being like an old school football fan, but, you know, yellow cards are handed out at times, you think, did he even touch the guy, you know? So maybe it's just something that comes sort of hand in hand in the earlier days, you know what I mean, of a season when you're playing that style of football.
Yeah, definitely. I think sort of to touch on it with Preston, I think there's that sort of onus of players trying to impress the new manager and also sort of get used to his style of sort of high intensity pressing football. So I think sort of over the course of the season, it, as you said, it will calm down a little as they sort of grow into it more. It wasn't something we particularly did under Simon Grayson, who's now left. So, you know, as you said, yeah, definitely it'll calm down. And then hopefully, not that I'm comparing the two, but it'll be more like a sort of a Barcelona or Borussia Dortmund kind of press where it's sort of not as as aggressive and sort of picking up yellow cards left, right and centre, but more sort of without the aggression and, you know, doing it for the right reasons rather than just going flying into tackles.
Do you know Alex Neil is only 36?
I know, but I couldn't believe how young he was when he took over.
I don't mean that in a bad way about him, but proof that there is stress in management, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's any manager in football where you go, oh, you're a lot younger than your...
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like that exactly. 92 managers, I don't think there's any where you say, oh, yeah, you look younger than your birth certificate. but he's good. That was interesting. I was reading something about him, you know, about sort of... You live and learn as you go along, because there's this awful thing sometimes when you get branded a championship manager, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Which is, I think there may be a couple of cases where you go, okay. But ultimately, if you're brilliant at taking a team up on a smaller budget, it's going to be a hard season in the Premier League. But it was interesting reading about Alex when he was talking about not how he lost his arse when he went up with Norwich. I don't know whether we can say that in the podcast.
No, that's fine.
He just talked about changing. But he didn't believe in himself enough, basically, to paraphrase. And he was like, you know, I changed because it was the Premier League. And I was reading the thing with him where he was saying, the next time I go up, I'm playing the same style in the Premier League that got me there in the first place.
Yes.
Now, you've seen signs of that this season from League One to the Championship with Sheffield United. They genuinely have to be talked about, you know what I mean? And you've seen that where everyone at the start of the season was going, well, you can't play three at the back in this division. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And actually, they just, Chris Wilder brought, by and large, the same group of players up and gave them that respect and credit, and they were fearless. And I think, you know, the Premier League is three or four different divisions. You know, so if you're going up and you're playing a style of football that can beat the top teams in the Championship, I mean, I think that style is likely, certainly in those games, there's probably seven teams, eight teams in the Premier League that you can play that style of again. So I was really interested in listening to, you know, how as a 36-year-old, he's already thinking, you know, about these, he's already evolving and learning from that year with Norwich up there, you know, which if I was a Preston fan, obviously you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself at all. But,
yeah.
And it's such a tight division. But, like, it's great to hear a manager being that sort of forward-thinking already and that confident about where he wants to go and what he's learning and stuff. I do like what he has to say, which you can't say about all managers, can you?
Yeah, I know, definitely. Well, he's sort of impressed, I think, sort off the pitch more than he has on the pitch with me. It was really sort of, you don't, as you said, get a lot of managers being that open and honest. And sort of one of his first interviews that he did when he took over us, he came out and admitted, sort of as you'd said, made mistakes. He's learned from them and he's willing to accept that he made those mistakes in order to sort of move on and not repeat them. So as you said, if he gets to the Premier League again, not change his style of play because it is the Premier League. And I thought that was really sort of honest and open of him to actually, you know, admit that in an interview, go into a new club and sort of he's prepared to learn from their mistakes. He's a young manager and we've got a young squad, so it's great to sort of see that sort of mentality in him.
Yeah, I think all that helps as well, having a younger squad. I think there's a couple of younger, like if you look at starting 11s, I think Brentford and might be another one as well, but yeah, it's certainly about saying the bottom three.
Yeah.
You know, our top three younger squads, whatever way you want to look at it. But, you know, you couple that, so that's a lot of players that people are getting used to, right? You know?
Mm.
Most people think Sean Maguire, like if you stop people in the street now, they think Sean Maguire is a former actor from EastEnders, do you know what I mean? So, you know, so this is all stuff that takes the pressure off to a certain extent. If these players are coming in, they're young and they're talented, you know, it's something that, and by the way, it says something when I'm saying, if you look at how many under-23s are playing for Wolves at the moment, you know what I mean? If there's something that they mentioned, then it's been the bottom, our top five youngest squads as well.
Yeah.
But when you've got that, coupled with the fact that it wasn't huge money spent at all, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So any, you know, the few names that did come in and a few loan signings, well, not even few, you'd say less than a few, they, again, none has created any expectation, you know, which I think is, you know, you put all these together, you know, not being a Premier League side, you know, in the modern era, you know, in a long time, you know, not spending big money, having a lot of young players that people are still getting familiar with outside of, you know, proper championship football fans. All these things lower expectation, I think, which is a good thing. You know, when you couple that with a team who are, you know, really well drilled, given 100%, not short of talent, these are all good ingredients to put in that pot, you know, in the championship season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I think especially the younger players as well, there's been sort of, for example, you mentioned Chris Wilder at Sheffield United, giving that sort of starting role to David Brooks. He's really impressed. You know, he likes the Sean Maguires. And I think especially the way we've done it, sort of bringing in young, hungry players, there's definitely a way of going about it rather than sort of splashing the money on the so-called bigger players and bringing in sort of somewhat bigger egos and that kind of thing. So I think sort of the way Alex Neil and Grayson before him with us, I do sort of think that is the right way to go about it. And it'll be interesting to see sort of how his squad evolves over the season coming and sort of which players really step up if we are sort of still around the playoffs come, say, March time.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, though, I was having a look, sort of doing a bit of research before this. Big Liverpool fan. Being from Manchester, all family United fans, obviously there's the game coming up at the weekend. Yes. Is it true that you got a Liverpool tattoo after the, was it the European Cup final?
After the Champions League, yeah.
Yeah.
After in 2005, it was, I couldn't go and see Liverpool play when I was young. I would have loved to look in my family's face if I'd have said, can I have money to go get a boat over for a football match? That just wasn't an option growing up, like. And then I think like the first game when I was 16 or whatever. So fast forward to 2005, and to be doing the job I was doing and to have the money to kind of literally say to my mates, you know, like my best mates from Belfast, a couple of mates from London and a couple of mates from Liverpool, like, I'm going to get the tickets, let's go, you know. And we all went together and it was brilliant, you know. It was like all my mates at one time, you know, all Liverpool fans all in Istanbul witnessing like the greatest game ever together, you know. So it was a brilliant thing. So with tattoos, like, so I have 5 stars tattooed, Marit. So it's a Liverpool tattoo in that is 5 European Cups, but it's a friend tattoo as well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not as in friends, the sitcom.
Yeah.
As in, you know, as in the mid. Someone out there probably does have a friend's tattoo, I might have to Google it. But anyway, so it's kind of on your wrist, and the thing with the tattoo is it's got to mean something, otherwise you just get sick of it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's kind of, it means sort of as much about sort of friendship, connection, and sort of a moment in time as well. There's a bit of a, oh, it's good to have, if you're going to see a tattoo every day, it's got to be have a little bit of perspective to it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So a bit of that. But it was actually, I mean, I left room for a star at the top for the 6th one. And then obviously it can go up the arm, but at the moment that seems, doesn't seem to be showing any signs of needing to be in, to be extended, but it'll be interesting to see if it ever does before I pop my clogs.
Well, you sort of touched on there, obviously, wanting to win another European trophy. As well as supporting Preston, I'm quite a big Borussia Dortmund fan and follow Bundesliga. Jurgen Klopp's obviously come over to Liverpool. How would you sort of assess the job he's done so far, and sort of, are you happy with him?
Shame on you for even claiming support two teams. I mean,
I know.
Chester are kind of my not sec. I look out for Chester, but I even stop at not saying second team because I don't think they should exist. So shame on you for that. actually, see, you're younger, and then you could see, this is the thing. This is with PlayStations and Xboxes. They've got the, you know.
I know, definitely.
Someone from your part of the world told me your other team should be like Bury or something. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, Borussia bloody Dortmunds. But listen, I'm a bit different that way. Like, I mean, I've had a bit of trouble with Hodgson. I didn't really, when he was at Liverpool, he never inspired me. But even then, I wouldn't say a huge amount, do you know what I mean? I'm not a different type of football fan. I think I'm probably like a lot of football fans. I don't ring up phone in.
Yes.
I don't shout for a guy to get sacked. The only time I get annoyed at my team, and I do go to a lot of games, I get annoyed, although bloody doing the Football League obviously means that you don't get to go to as much live football. The weirdest thing about presenting football,
yeah.
You don't get to go to as much. But so this season's a bit of a sabbatical, but if a player dies, I don't care what team he's on. See, if he's cheating, I just can't stand him. I'll scream.
Yeah.
I will scream from the stand at him. And if a player's not given 100%, you know, if you watch, especially you bring in a striker and he comes in and he's quite panicky and you're watching and you're thinking that you haven't left that 3-yard square of grass in about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
You just stood there waiting for service. You're doing nothing. Like, so that type of thing annoys me, but I've always got the perspective. Like, that's what I like when Brendan Rodgers came in and he said, I'm not here because the club won European Cups. And, you know, I'm not here because of their history. I'm here because of what they can be like going forward. And that's what I like. I don't like the, we are Liverpool, we deserve. We, you know, no team deserves anything. In any given season, you play your fixtures and you get your points. And you know, okay, it's stacked financially. And it, there's a lot of factors that, you know, play into both what's happening in the, probably in every division. I mean, like, you know, you spend more money, you have more chance of going up. But by the same token, like, you know, you play the games, the league rarely lies when you take everything into account, you know what I mean? Mm. Liverpool haven't been unlucky to not win a league in this amount of time, you know what I mean? So, I've just got a lot of perspective. I support the team, win or lose. And I think it's because I was brought up into kind of being a Liverpool fan through, like, stories of Bill Shankly. And I always sort of sticks in my head, sort of that he built the club, and one of his best quotes is like, if you can't support us when we lose, don't support us when we win. Mm. And I don't really support Liverpool to win, do you know what I mean? I support Liverpool for a lot of boring reasons, family reasons and other reasons, but like, that's why I do support them. That's why they were my team. And I grew up in a country that they used to say was red or red, you know, so you're either United or Liverpool. But it's not my, I think I'm probably the last person that, even when I get really annoyed, calls for a manager's head, you know? Not really my style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, definitely. I think in particular with us, there was sort of towards middle of last season when we had a bit of a dip, there was calls for Simon Grayson's head, and didn't really understand it, to be honest, with the job that he's done for the club. And I think sort of for fans and for Grayson, I think the way he left in the summer was probably sort of, as daft as it sounds, like a perfect way for him to end it. He'd taken us as far as he thought he could go. He wanted a fresh challenge, and, you know, we haven't looked back since. We've brought in Alex Neil, who's done fantastically well, and yeah.
It's been good, and it's just, like, it's dead simple. As long as people keep buying newspapers that spend their time just constantly digging out players, managers, you know, if they, people are buying them less and less, it's becoming sort of less of a thing, I suppose. But, you know, that's the bottom line. You know, the more and more we get our news online and we just click in stories that appeal to us and read them, then I suppose the less impact the sort of negativeness has all the time. You know what I mean? The majority of Liverpool fans are like, you know what? He's good for club. We know he's a really good manager. We were quite lucky to get him when we got him at that time. And he's been there a couple of years. It is what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we all would rather have had two other. Like, we, if I was in charge of Liverpool, probably the same as 90% of Liverpool fans, if not more, if not like 99%, we would have loved to see two world-class defenders brought in, right?
Yep.
It hasn't happened, though, and we're not in the boardroom, and we're not there day-to-day, the way it does happen. I mean, Clough's a good guy, like, you know, we're going to sack him for who, do you know what I mean? Comes a time, you just got to go, you've got a good manager, you know? Stay with the guy. See, I don't even think it's a question, do you know what I mean? It's like, I like him, he's our manager, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, if Clough's doing Clyde was managing Liverpool, I'd still be a Liverpool fan, you know? I don't really bother myself with if someone was awful, like if Liverpool were in the bottom three now and survived relegation by 2 points last year, I probably would be having a conversation with you about we should probably sack this manager. But I think it's ludicrous to sort of even chat about sort of where he is and all that. It's just he's Jurgen Klopp. He's a really good manager. Lucky to have him.
Definitely. Move on.
Support the club.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more with that. I wanted to touch on, and it's been quite interesting for me, sort of been a Preston fan, but then starting to host the podcast now, getting the sort of the views from different fans, different clubs. Obviously, you were on Match of the Day 2, where you'd cover predominantly the Premier League and Liverpool. How's the sort of transition been going from focusing on one league to doing the Football League show where you've got the three leagues to cover now?
This is me not saying that I'll start again. To be honest with you, mate, there's no transition really. I do a little bit of TV once in a while. I'm a radio boy. I started as a print journalist and went into radio. It's the thing I have to do, or I'd have to break down. I did Match of Day 2 for 3 years. It was offered. It was good profile. I do the Football League now. It's a really small team that work on it, and a brilliant team. Like, it's really, really good fun. But you got to remember, like, say I did Talk Sport, which I left like about a year ago. The 3 years I did there, you know, first of all, you've got, I said, we had all-time record ratings, and that show, so we had up to sort of 1.2 million. You're doing 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week on all divisions and other sports.
Yeah.
And that is journalism. Football highlight shows are about, Match of the Day 2 was about people, sometimes, this is the frustrating thing about football highlights on TV. Match of Day 2, people would say to me, why did you ask him about that goal? And I'm like, because he'd already made a package up.
Yeah.
Like, some people think I asked the question and then they made the package in 3 seconds when he answered it. That took 2 hours to put together the analysis, you know. The actual visual and the circles around the players, etc. So it's been made, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's kind of quite straightjackety because you're just going, you've already told me what you want to say, and I'm just getting you into that, really. And then moving on to the Football League, that's more enjoyable because, and it's like, I think there is quite a few people watching, maybe don't get their head around it, but it is working because the audience is 20% bigger this year than what it was last year.
Yeah.
And it's dead simple. Show more highlights. Show more football. We've got so many teams to show in such a short space of time. Why would we talk more?
Yeah.
Like, and the other thing is as well, especially when it comes in the League One and League Two, which I wish we had longer for. I'd have another half hour if I could for that. But at the same time, like, it's like, don't tell a group of fans who are spending their hard-earned money to go and see a team who are 88th or 89th or 90th in the Football League, right? In the first four divisions, don't go telling them they're bad. Do you know what I mean? Don't point out the left back isn't good enough.
Yeah.
What's the point of that? So what we do with what we've done with the Football 5 show, because I sort of, it had been something that I've been talked about. People had talked to me about that show before, and it didn't quite appeal to me because there was all sorts of things about, you know, making it different and making it whatever to show the football. Do you know what I mean? So that's what I've done with it. Like, it's just me. There's one pundit. I've told them, don't have to do analysis. If you want to talk about the club itself, that's good. If you want to talk about the community, do that. You know, but we're only going to be in vision for about 12 minutes,
yeah.
An hour and a half, right? We literally hardly ever in vision. So the one thing that's quite difficult about it is just make sure that, like, over the course of, like, a couple of months, you spread out the chances you do have to talk, you know.
Yeah.
And people who watch it every week will know that 1 week we might talk about Preston, and then the next week might talk about Bristol City, and the next week might talk about Cardiff, next week, and so on. We don't have time to talk about them all every week, because see, if we do,
you're going to be looking at Arnold remarks instead of seeing the football.
Yeah.
And who the fuck wants that?
Yeah.
So people have to get over this kind of like, where's our fur whack? And the other thing is as well, the Premier League is huge, huge, big budget, right?
Yeah.
Almost every game is televised, right? Every single Premier League game has loads of cameras at it by default, right? Every game is filmed from every angle. That's not the case in the Football League. So there's three games, two of which have got nothing to do with Channel 5, that are filmed by more than one camera. And then we get to pick one every week as well in the Championship. And more often than not, we're picking one to really sort of make sure that it's not just, you know, sending loads of cameras to the big clubs, all, you know, the teams in the top three or four or five. And then that's really nice, and we get to do that. But a lot of the time, well, all of the time, the running order is not picked based on the results. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not what happens. The producer sits there and works his balls off to put together the runner, and hopefully, with his great knowledge that he has, he's picked the right game to send loads of cameras to. But sometimes, like the other week, you do it, and it's a nil-nil stinker. So instead of start the show with 6 minutes of highlight of a brilliant game with seven cameras there that finished 3-2, you're having to move that game, which was nil-nil and awful, to the back of a package and only show it off it. And then you've got to reinvent the top of the show to show the game that finished 4-3 that you only sent one camera to, because you're not, because it's football. It's not the theatre. You don't know what's going to happen, right? So the only thing that's frustrating about it for me is it should all be about the football. And to be honest, I'm only like 99 out of 100 things don't frustrate me. But I will tweet people back, because they'll tweet me and go, we were on fifth again. And I'm like, why are you telling me?
Yeah.
Why, you may as well tweet the Dalai Lama. I don't pick the running order. And I'm only in vision for 12 minutes. It's, you know, so like, it really is, that is the weird thing about it. And every week there'll be a club that goes, thanks, our coverage is great. And another club that goes, oh my God, we weren't on enough. And it's just, it literally is all bollocks. It's just, you do what you can with the resources that you have. And what's more important to me is, you know, I always say, you know, the pundits are great in the show, actually. You know, they're really, like, you can just talk to them. And, like, I know Mickey well, but Chris is brilliant as well. Really nice guy. Clinton's a good guy. And we're bringing in new people all the time. And I always just say to him, look, don't get it right. You know, if you don't know what you're talking, you don't go to see all these teams week in, week out. Go into the fan forums. Read what the fans are saying after the game. It's easy. So we've been doing a lot more of that, I think, than you would be used to seeing in most shows. And we're not doing it in a kind of token way. We're doing it because I don't sit, you know, in the Tom Finney end. You know what I mean? I can't possibly say what Preston are like over 90 minutes every week, because we have all of the Championship games and the League One and League Two. So every week, I'm really just picking, like, I watch half of that game and half of that game. So we lean a lot on the fans, and I really enjoy that, you know, when you can go on air and you can say, okay, this is what, you know, Coventry fans have said about the season so far. You know, this is what Brentford fans said. And we try and do that a hell of a lot. And we only put in one or two bits of actual analysis a week, and the rest of it's just talking about the clubs. And it seems to be going well. I mean, the figures are really good. So if more people are tuning in, I think that's kind of a good sign, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think last season, towards the end of the season, I sort of tailed off from watching it. But definitely this season, as you said, I've noticed the change on it. And it's sort of a much more easy watch now. You sort of, first and foremost, tune in to watch the football highlights. It's great to see sort of the emphasis shift into that. And you're doing a fantastic job of it this season. So, you know, long may it continue.
The other thing, if you notice, what we do, we always will focus on the team that wins, and the only time that would be different would be if, say, the manager gets sacked because of that game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can't ignore it. You can't set the end. If you've only got a minute and 20, which, by the way, I'd advise anyone, put a stop clock on how long we talk off the bag of games. A lot of times, it's 40 seconds, right? That's the trick. 90 minutes of football, 40 seconds. But we've set ourselves that challenge this year. Keep it simple. Say what you have to say in that time and move on to the next game. Nobody wants to see 4 minutes of highlights followed by 4 minutes of chat. That's the wrong balance. Football's about football, not about me and some guy that used to play football talking about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you put a clock, you only get a small amount of time. So I remember this season we had, was it Preston. I think you got Harry Redknapp sacked.
Yes.
Preston got Harry Redknapp. Nothing else. No. So you severely rabble more back. You beat them, got them sacked. We did it. I think we did 2 minutes exactly. So we even added an extra like 40 seconds on. We started that. We went, before we do what we have to do, let's say Preston were brilliant today, but we've got to talk about Harry Redknapp.
Yeah.
Even. I mean, that's the right thing to do, do you know what I mean? But it's only in that situation that we don't, first of all, give credit to the team that wins, because that always annoys me. So let's say, for example, when, say, first game of the season, Burnley beat Chelsea, right? And people, a lot of outlets will write or talk about Chelsea losing their opening game.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, they didn't. Burnley won their opening game, you know. I always try and start with that. And the other thing is as well, see if a team are shit. I just don't see the point of saying it.
Yeah.
I think you just go, they don't need told.
Yeah.
You don't need to go on air and go, hey, by the way, Burton Albion haven't won in such and such, or, you know, whatever it is. You don't have to go on and say, you know, you don't have to spend 20 minutes talking about, you know, if you're doing the Premier League stuff, I guess we're doing a Premier League chat now, why'd I have to tell West Brom fans for 5 minutes they haven't won since whatever it is, August 19th or something like that, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's a stat and you say it, but you don't need to sort of rub it in.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if Preston going to lose, the last thing you need is fucking tune in on a Saturday night and there's some golf shite telling you again, you know?
Yeah.
So I always try to avoid that as well.
Well, when we inevitably go on a losing streak, then I'll definitely be watching out to make sure that you don't mention that.
Do you know what? The two things that people never... when people talk about what's going to happen in a season, never gets talked about as much as it probably should, is injuries and suspension.
Yeah.
So, if you look at the top teams, that would worry me a little bit more. Well, it would worry me more if it was Preston or Sheffield United than what it would if it was Wolves.
Yeah.
Because they just have more depth in the squad, you know. So that would worry me a little bit. And the other one is a bad refereeing decision, or, you know, a one that goes for you. You know, in a league so tight, you can talk all you want about this team press, this team bend and don't break, this team play football like this team play the diamond, this team play the long ball. You could be 2 points outside of the top two or 1 point inside the top six because a referee gave you a penalty you shouldn't have had or didn't give you a penalty that you should, you know?
Yeah.
So in a league so tight, it can come down to that. But that would be the thing about Preston that is like the really good vital signs. I always say you look at it like, you know, a health check at this stage of the season, you know, you go for a medical and you go, right, what's the vital sign saying? And the only two kind of like crosses on the Preston health check at the moment would be picking up quite a lot of yellow cards. So inevitably that would lead to some suspension.
Yep.
And then, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, who's going to come in there. Do you know what I mean? Because it is such a young squad, but everything else is such a good pick. Do you know what I mean? When you weren't scoring a lot of goals at one stage early on in this season, your defence was just so tight. So you were picking up loads of points. Your return per goal, point per goal, earlier this season was unbelievable. And then the shooting boots came on.
Yeah.
Just ticks all over the place. Camaraderie, team spirit, manager's ability in the division. And tick, 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 tick. You know, fan support, you know, the way the fans get behind Preston, tick. These are like... You don't give an inch, Preston fans. You know what I mean? I don't think they kind of get the credit for how fanatical they are. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, so, definitely experienced that.
Going on, do you know what I mean? So, and here, when's Gentry Day?
They've not decided yet, but it's normally March time, and I think this year we've got Bolton Wanderers away, which is a really sort of local game for us. So I'd imagine it'll be. Maybe Bolton. I can't remember who we've got the other away game quite close to that, but I'd imagine sort of 90% sure it'd be one of them two.
I must keep an eye on it because I'm pretty sure we could start at the Channel 5 show in a bowler hat.
Definitely,
probably do that at the market. We could do that.
Definitely, yeah. Well, sort of ending on a high, talking about Preston is probably the best way to end this interview. Thanks so much for joining me today, Colin. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for asking me.
That's all right. And as I said, looking forward to the rest of the sort of the season and watching the football highlights now that you're focusing more so on the highlights than sort of the talking. If you wanted to let everyone know, you mentioned at the start that you're involved in a charity do soon. If you wanted to let everyone know about that, that'd be a great time.
Anyone who's in London, go to the Union Chapel website, which I think is unionchapel.org.uk. Any fans at all from who are based in London, any football fans in London, we work for this charity that Steve Cram runs called Coco, and it's an amazing school that the charity's built in the middle of nowhere in Kenya, and I've been the last few years. I really want to build a library there. There's a very big imbalance between males and females. It's very male-dominated society in some very simple ways and some very gruesome ways. And, you know, as you go back to those, you know, if you want to find knowledge, if you want to find power, find a library, and there's just none. So I'm trying to build this library in Kenya, in the middle of the Maasai Mara, for the Maasai tribes women, so they can read books from female authors on female subjects. And they'll have other books in it, but that's the big driver. We're going to name it after a female from the area as well. It's done loads of good work. And the way they build out there, it's a lot cheaper. If I can sell out this one charity night in London, it will build the shell of the entire library. So it's six comedians. So it's Paul Cine, Ian Sterling, Lucy Porter, Matt Ford, Eddie Caddy, Justin Murhouse. It's an amazing lineup for just £20. 20 is plenty. So it's like, yeah, anyone that can go to Union Chapel, I think it's unionchapel.org.uk. It's on the 14th of November. So it's what I was saying. Could be the night Northern Ireland qualifying for the World Cup. But yes, I mean, if this can even sell me 20 tickets, do come along. There won't be a better value comedy night. Forget the charities, you know what I mean? There won't be a better value comedy night anywhere in London, and it's also just the best cause. And Union Chapel in Islington is a stunning venue as well. So, yeah, if anyone can buy those, that would be great.
Yeah, definitely make sure you check that out. As usual, I've been your host, James Vickers. As I said, thank you for joining me today, Colin. And
Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund fan. Never forget that when you're listening to this. Yeah. Borussia Dortmund fan. Shameful.
Well, thank you for joining me today, and we'll see you soon.
Take care, mate.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.